And good morning, good evening, good afternoon from wherever you are listening to in the world. I'm Russell.
And I'm Sonia.
And you're listening to the Raw Food Barefoot Athlete Podcast. And thanks very much for spending this time with us again. And if you are going to hang around to the end, we're going to have a bit of a chat about setting the right balance. A bit of discussion on who owns a recipe, okay, and what is a minimalist as a lifestyle. A couple of race reports.
Yes, a couple of race reports.
Yeah. So we've had a fairly exciting little week.
So
what should we start off with? Again, just a thank you for listening. That's one good start, isn't it?
Yes.
As we are looking now at a time date stamp is coming into Christmas 2013, and already the Christmas trees have been in the shops for a couple of months now, haven't they?
Yes, I know. I think it gets earlier every year.
Yeah, well, that's it. It's a face of okay. We won't go touch on this.
No.
It's a pretty hard place, isn't it? But it's one of those that I suppose. Okay. Let's start about the minimalist then, shall we? Because that's probably a good launching place. Is that we consider a lot of things we do as a minimalist lifestyle, and by minimalist, we're obviously in our footwear. Barefoot is good, you know. A minimalist is another term that you will hear when you're talking about a barefoot running concept. But also, I believe we touched on it before, is about the minimalist impact that you have on your environment, the minimalist that you can be as a consumer in a consumer society. Now, I don't mean being a hermit or being a Scrooge-like person at Christmas, but generally accepting that today's world is a world that's fueled by a consumerist bent. I might be having a generalist brush when I say that, but from where we particularly observe it is that every time that you walk into, and I'm not kicking, running shoe stores or that down, but whenever you walk into a place such as a Rebel Sports or something, there's every known artifact on the shelf, and you look at it and you realise that it really isn't necessary, to promote good health and well-being in people. It's part of the bling is there for a consumerist society. And so part of the message that we'd like to put out as well is that to be healthy, to be fit, you don't have to get on the latest bandwagon. You don't have to have the latest styles. You can be a fit, healthy individual in a minimalist form. Have you any words on that, Sonia?
Well, yes, I suppose. I had an experience today. I went shopping and it took me back to last Christmas, and I have this feeling when I go into the shops, I'm just overwhelmed with the things that are for sale. And it's so easy for if you're not mindful about the spending towards Christmas time, you just get swept away with, buying this and that gift for here, for people, just to fill the stocking and things like that. It's just spending money. It's just being blown out of proportion, I think.
Well, that's a consumerist society, isn't it? It's not something that's sustainable. It's only sustainable if you're the business that's selling the blue widget or whatever it is. And unfortunately, I don't want to lean too far away from what we're saying here, but it does impact on the minimalist thinking, is that to fuel this consumer spending, so many people go into debt.
Yes.
And once you're in debt,
yes,
you then actually have, you've got this war between you and minimalism, because I consider a minimalist approach to earning money. Now, I'll explain that in as much that I understand money is a medium of exchange, and it's something that's accepted for us here in the Western world. But I look at the exchange rate as being what I want to do about it. That is, if I want something, I'll go out and I will get money and I will give it to somebody else who wants that money for that exchange, so, or for that goods. So I'm not interested in going out and buying something that is a trinket that's just useless to anybody. You can say it's for a token of affection, but I don't get on that bandwagon at all. So the point here that I'm trying to make a long-winded point, I know, and I do apologise, but it's basically I know what it takes for me to live in Australia at a lifestyle that I want. And it's a lot less, it's a lot more minimalist than what a majority of people at my age or in my position would need. I mean, I do it on a quarter, under a quarter of what, you know, air quotes, average person in my situation would do. But what it does, it gives me back time.
Yes.
And with that time, I'm able to do other things. So my minimalist approach to work is that I just work enough.
Yes.
And, I mean, I don't live a Spartan life, that's for sure. I have some really good things. So it's all about the mindfulness of exactly what you want out of your life, yeah. Okay? So you're looking at a minimal with a minimalist existence, again, you stand the chance of being seen to be someone who doesn't have money and lives on coupons. No, that's not what I'm talking about. I hope I'm explaining that here. It's like minimalist shoes or minimalist footwear. I can still run a 21-minute 5K, and I don't have to have the latest fashion shoes on. I don't even have to have my, you know, gaudy Vibram five fingers on. You know, if I can run without a shoe, you know, or without footwear. But if I've got to run with a little bit of protection on my soles, I'll strap a used sole to the feet, or what we have is our running sole. Okay, so it's a minimalist. I use a minimalist approach to get the most effective result.
That's right.
That's probably where I'd like to say, to be as minimalist as you want can, to be as effective as you can be.
Yeah.
So we had a good score there, and that last week we talked about Sonia's sandals that she made up on a minimalist approach, and we're going to the race reports, I suppose, now. Well, look, you tell them. You had a wonderful race.
I was very excited last Saturday morning because it was only the second time I'd worn these sandals that I'd made up, and we got quite a few looks, didn't we? Because I think they did look very homemade, but as I was running along, and I mean the course was quite rough, you know, with quite sharp rocks, and it was, you know, very uneven ground, so we really did need to wear a little bit of foot protection, which we did. But I got quite a few looks from a lot of the men as I was passing them, and they said, "Oh, look, she's just wearing sandals." I thought, yes. It was good. So anyway, that was Saturday morning. But then Sunday, the day after, we went for another run, and that course was a little bit more smooth, so we opted to go barefoot. And that was a very pleasant run Sunday morning. I really enjoyed that.
It was good. It was a suburban track through parks and cement and a little bit of park trail involved in it. And it was a nice local club run. So the Bunyaville park run went really well. Look, actually, we both, like, we added probably I think, 3 minutes maybe to our normal 5K time. But as it so happens, we ended up with our first place for Sonia's age group. I think you beat the next competitor by about 3 minutes or so, was it not?
Yes, yes. Well, there doesn't seem to be that many in my age group. I don't know why with at my age a lot of the women are not running anymore. I don't know why that is. Yeah.
Maybe they've drunk too much milk and their bones are calcifying and they're not able to. Oh, well, that's a bit of a dig, isn't it? Sorry. Yeah. Okay, leave that one. But, so I managed to snaffle first place as well, and it was a good, enjoyable run. And we're looking to do a park run most Saturdays, yes. To try and looking to keeping us sharp, really. We were just looking at our schedule, and what we've got is here in Australia now, we're just coming into our summer months. So unless you're a triathlete, the season for us is not on until March, maybe, where it'll start, the running season will start again. So we were just looking at that. Our park runs is just a bit of a sharpen up for a Saturday. We do a bit of cross training with, I was a triathlete for 16, 17 years, so I still like riding my bike and I still like going for my swim. So that keeps us fairly active. And this is a point that I suppose we can make here, is that when you're looking at a regime for yourself, especially if you're looking at transitioning into barefoot running or natural form movement, is now's a really good time to have a good go at it, because you've got a few months to work into some serious racing, and you don't have to push yourself into anything. You can take it really easy. Look, you can even just kick off your shoes and start strengthening your feet, start understanding the natural positioning of running, and just investigate it for yourself. It's let's face it, Sonia, you found it's, 2-3 months, and you're doing really well at it.
Yeah, well, I would never have thought this was possible. The transition has been a lot quicker than I thought. You know, I was talking to you, and I thought it would take me, 6 months or so, but it's only been I think it's on the 3 months mark now. And like Sunday morning, some of the ladies that were there at our run, they looked at me and said, "Oh, you're going to run barefoot?" I said, "Yeah." They say, "How can you do that without support?" And I said, "Well, the support is within your foot itself." I don't know what they're referring to, Russell, when they say, "But what about the support?" You know,
it's marketing message. It's marketing that's really they're referring to, because look, I'm not saying that is exactly what they're saying to you, but most people, they've got this idea that they're broken runners.
Yeah.
And it comes from motion control and stability control and forefoot cushioning and rear heel cushioning that is known as a marketing message. And there's going to be some people who are going to need some sort of help, but it's they're few and far between.
Yeah.
You know, once you learn how to really organise yourself as a natural form runner, the arch of your foot becomes strong, the tendons, the ligaments all get to be activated and to be operating in a mode that they're atrophying in a pair of footwear. Your whole leg suspension starts to work. The whole aspect of your carriage starts to operate in a better manner, because you've got better perception to your feet. You understand where your head is in relation to everything else. There's a whole chain of events that happens after that.
Yeah. So I just couldn't believe when they were just looking at my feet, and it's as if they went for a run, they just think that their feet are going to fall apart. Yeah, the way she said, "Well, how can you do? What about support?"
Mm. Yeah. Again, it's just education. Yeah. It's just education. And it's like all things. Like, you don't go out banging people over the head with a big stick to say, you must do this, must do this. Just, hey, look, I'm doing it. It's working for me.
That's
right. It's great, you know. So, all right, well, that's the barefoot thing out of the way. What we'd like to do is just to carry on with a bit of the series that we were looking at is, you know, where to find good prices and the difference between values in things. And today we're just going to touch slightly on, we did mention it the other day about coconut oil.
Yeah.
But I don't think we sort of mentioned pricing. So we're just going to go through a little bit of pricing. And you've got to remember, when you're talking coconut oil here, now, yeah, again, it's I'm pretty sure I touched on this last time. You're not using it in everything, and it's not the be all to end all or anything. It's just something, a staples in your diet. Now, I mean, I know that if I have more than, you know, a tablespoon for a day, and that's, I'm not saying, you know, like chug it down out of the jar, but in other foods, it's a laxative, you know, it doesn't, you know, it starts to work on you. So that to me is a sign, says like, you know, that's enough, the body's telling you. Okay,
that's
so
right.
So in all these things,
well, I can handle a lot more than you. You know, I can sort of have up to say three tablespoons a day, and I don't have that laxative effect like you do.
Mm.
But it has actually helped me too, because that's another story with the whole.
No, actually, no. You should. Maybe we can just touch on that for a while, because this is a real story.
Yeah,
this is this is something that Sonia suffered from for. Well, you tell the story. I'll shut up.
Yeah. Well, it's a long story. It goes back 26 years, and I've always had a lot of trouble with constipation, and through the constipation, obviously, you know, some trouble with hemorrhoids. So I've been actually taking a natural laxative for 26 years, and it's only just recently, since I've been on this raw food, plant-based lifestyle diet, that and in consuming a lot more, obviously, the coconut oil through the for foods that I've created, that I've been able to get off the laxative that I've been taking for 26 years. And wow, everything's working really well. That's a miracle, really, it is. So that's what I've got to say about that.
And that's just one thing.
That's just one thing.
I'm not saying that's one thing in your
life.
That's
huge. That's huge.
But that's a sort of, it's a very simple thing, but a lot of people suffer from simple things like that. You know, what the continuation of a single drug does into someone's system, you eventually pay the piper in some way, you know. So here's a natural thing that you can do, and it's working fine, you know. Like, so what were you just going to – did you have the numbers there?
Wanted to tell you, a few things about –
and also oils ain't oils, as they say.
Oh, I know. I mean, obviously some of the oil is cold-pressed, and some of it's been heat – it's created through heating it. I don't know exactly how they do it, but it's got different flavours. So we've been playing around with different ones with different flavours, and we're trying to get –
Do you mean by the different flavours? Some are like just really rough processed through a heat, and others are cold pressed and do come from organic.
That's right.
Plantations. So there's definitely a flavour. I mean, they've even got stuff now that, I mean, we don't buy it, but it's actually got the flavour taken out of it, because and I get that, because if you use it for certain, because the oil, it does get used a bit to hold different recipes together.
Yes,
but we found that tends to happen in very commercialized senses, because we can find things to get hold things together that you doesn't need it.
No,
You know, if you're talking about even commercial in a raw food sense, It's easy to throw in a couple of tablespoonfuls of coconut oil to make things stick, eh?
That's right. I mean, it's a little bit harder through the warmer months where, it will – obviously soften with the warmer temperatures, so it's easier to hold things together in the winter time when it's nice and cool. But I just want to touch on the prices and just make people aware that when you're buying, a litre bottle of oil, a lot of times, I mean, oil is heavier than water, and I think it's coming in at about 1.2. So just like a litre, we've got a bottle over here, 950ml bottle, and the grams of oil in there will be around about 850. So I've done my calculations, and the cheapest that I can find that I can buy organic cold-pressed coconut oil is $19.68 for a true kilo of the oil. And we buy a bottle which is 305ml, which is about 254 grams, and that we can get that for $5 at the markets, and I won't mention what markets, but it does really pay to shop around, because, you know, you can get some really good organic cold-pressed coconut oil, you know, for down as low as $19.68 a kilo, which makes it very, very economical to use for, you know, all sorts of things. You know, we use it on our skin and in our hair and... and various things that we create with the tart shells I make and the energy bars and the rum ball things that I'm little rum ball Christmas balls.
Christmas balls.
Mm. Yeah, so I use the coconut oil a lot. Mm. So it matters to me what price I pay, you know.
Well, it's that minimalist approach, you know. Yeah. It's a minimalist viewing. I mean, you can go out and buy without thinking about something. You can go and buy, I mean, you know, you can pay some really big dollars for I would say stay with coconut oil, and you can almost get a half price if you apply that minimalist thinking to it.
Yeah,
you know, so
and every dollar's a dollar, you know. We've all got to earn that first dollar, so
Yeah, so this is, what would you call this, the cheap ass show?
Yes, that's right.
A little bit of a dollar, but I'm...
you're frugal. I think I'm more frugal than you are.
And that's a term, isn't it, that seems to be going out these days. I mean, we use the term frugal, and it's almost like an old English language that doesn't get used that much anymore. But for us, we are, you know, frugal. We are minimalist, and we're definitely raw, and we're definitely barefoot. So, all right. Well, we won't try and drag things out this week. We're really making an effort to make a weekly podcast, and trying to just give you guys, the listener, some half decent information on it. So, if you've got this far, I really hope you got something out of it, and we again really appreciate you taking this time to listen in. And next week we will continue the series on some pricing and a bit more of an update on a couple of more races that we're looking at doing, and
maybe even talk about the recipes, the balance of the recipes.
We'll leave that one for next time. Yeah, I was looking at the time and I was thinking, because it's right, isn't it? Like, this is, okay, let's try this again then, is that, and if I start talking too much, just hit me and we'll just shut up.
All right.
And actually, no, you're the one supposed to be talking anyway, because really, it came about some things that you said, and I thought was a really good point, was that you see these recipes online and you see these lovely pictures and you get them, and then you might go and think, oh, that looks really good, that's great, and you go and buy it, and then you make the recipe up, and it tastes like,
not as good as what you think.
No, you know, and they think, oh, well, damn, that was no good.
Yeah.
So you start to tinker a little bit. So, well, there's a bit of an idea there, but I think that's a case with recipes even in the uncooked fraternity, isn't there?
Yes,
but
that's right.
from our, what should I say, results, and is that, there's a lot of recipes out there that get banded around that may look good on a quick YouTube video and a quick slap together PDF, but in practice, you know, they it doesn't work out. The moment Sonia's putting together her Never Fail recipe book that'll be available for our February get together, and hopefully it'll be available for other people as well when it's ready. Anyway, look, so what did you want to say about it? So,
well, the thing is, you get a book and you'll start playing around with, you know, what recipe you want to make for the day, and then you start making it and you start tasting it and you think, oh, this does not quite right. So I just fiddle with it and change a bit here and change a bit there until it tastes right. And then I write the recipe down. And so I end up with, well, sometimes we have a bit of a muck up and it doesn't taste so good. So, but you know, I'm having a lot of fun in the kitchen, and hopefully I'll come up with some really good recipes that won't fail. You know, that you know that you can rely on putting those ingredients together, and the balance of the flavours that are going together are going to be a good mix.
Yeah, because there's definitely a whole art to it, especially in that, you know, I mean, I'm probably going to get kicked up for the bum for this one, but gourmet's easy, you know, make things look nice, yeah. and it, you know, you do all these little things to it, but to have everyday dishes that taste good, variety, that can be, you know, it can be a little bit more challenging to put a week's full of dishes together, you know. So,
well, I was making this cookie recipe, a raw cookie recipe the other day, and Russell had a bit of a taste of the biscuit I'd made, and it's sort of it's a bit ordinary. So I played with it, and we dehydrated it and all sorts of things, and we did end up with a fairly nice tasting cookie. So it took a bit of doing to get it right.
Hey, that just dehydrating under 100 for 2 hours just gave it that little cookie flavour.
That's
right. It tastes good, you know. But that's the point. Not the point, but I was going to say, like, who owns the recipe then, you know?
That's
so,
right.
But it's not a case of who owns it, I suppose. It's just, you know, you individuals, and we'll always state that, you know, anywhere you're on this journey, you're an individual and you find out what suits you, but you do your own research, you listen in, and just get on the journey, hey?
That's
know,
right.
Open yourself up to yourself, you know. Oh, well, look, we seemed to have did duck inside that 30 minutes. I thought we were going to go for a bit more of a rant, but you've reined me in, and it's all good. So, anything else you need to say?
We can talk a bit more about recipes again next week, and a little bit about running, and like you've got a couple of other things written down over here that are very interesting to talk about next week. So hopefully we'll have our listeners tune in again next week for the continuing journey of this raw food barefoot journey of ours.
We hope your journey is sweet as well. So from Russell, goodbye.
And from Sonia as well. See you next week.
Remember, take off your shoes. Go for a run. Shoe manufacturers don't own your soul.